Hey, I'm Bob Runkle, and for as long as I can remember, I've loved pop culture. Despite the challenges I've faced in my life, pop culture has always been there for me. I love talking to people and being a platform for others to share their thoughts, stories. Because if there's one thing I never get tired of, it's seeing driven, talented, and inspiring individuals follow their dreams, no matter what obstacles are in their way. And I know a thing or two about that. Welcome to the DJ Bob Show. I'm DJ Bob. Roll it. Ah, the Rugrats movie soundtrack. I vividly remember where I was when I got that. I was obsessed with the main song in the film, Take Me There by Blackstreet and Maya. So it was only a matter of time that I got the soundtrack for my 4th birthday. And the soundtrack changed my life. And now I have someone to thank for that. The music supervisor for that film and many other films, including Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and tons of others, Karen Ratchman is here to talk about her career in music supervision, finding new music in the world of TikTok and other modern culture, and just life in general. This one took a lot of planning, but it was well worth it. Enjoy it.
Hello, my name is Karen Rackman, and I suppose I'm best known for music supervising films, and some of the films I did in the 90s were huge successes, such as I worked with Quentin Tarantino and did Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, and did Reality Bites and Clueless and the SpongeBob SquarePants movie and the Rugrats movie in Fort Worth. And I also worked as an executive soundtrack producer, which means that I am the music supervisor, but on the record company side. So I worked on Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge and Office Space and, a lot of other movies too.
So a lot of people don't know what a music supervisor does. And they basically pick the right moment, the right song for the moment, pretty much, and try to like search and find.
It's interesting because wouldn't that be the best job in the world is if that's all I had to do? I mean, because it's everybody's fantasy is like, oh, use this song here and that. But really, it's you work for a production company, you know, or a director, you know, like in the case of Quentin Tarantino. When he writes his song, when he writes his movies, he knows. And same with like Paul Thomas Anderson, another film I did was Boogie Nights. They knew exactly what song they wanted where. And they, in fact, when they were writing the scenes, wrote to that song. So, you know, there was a few scenes in each movie that, you know, I had picked the music and brought it to Quentin, like, Counting Flowers on the Wall in Pulp Fiction, or I got a brand new key. I think it was by Melanie in the roller disco scene for Roller Girl in Boogie Nights. And, you know, a lot of the incidental music. But for the most part, with filmmakers like that, my job is to get the approvals, get the songs, negotiate the deals, and get them the song. So it's something called clearances, you know, like we clear the song. So there's a lot of that in music supervision. Also, you know, we negotiate album deals. And we also, you know, I work on a lot of musicals now and have in the past too, animated musicals, which means you have to get the songs written before you animate. So again, it's like working with the directors. Who are you going to get to write the song? How, what does the song need to say? You know, so it's getting, you know, curating songwriters that the director will like, then going back and briefing the songwriters. There is also the element of just, like you said, picking songs, you know. So if I'm working on a film and it's a certain budget, I'll think of songs, but I'll also tell them about the scene and about the movie and what I'm looking for and references. And last but not least, it's also working with composers, finding out who is going to do the score, negotiating their deal. Also, sorry, I know I'm rambling on, but I'm thinking sometimes it's an on-camera performance. If they need a band to perform something, a wedding band or whatever it is, different situations to perform. So it's basically you supervise and produce everything that has to do with music in the film or TV show.
And one of the most inspiring stories and interesting stories I wanted to kind of highlight today was Reality Bites and the inclusion of Stay, because having an independent artist bring in a song and have it skyrocket the way it did, that must have been not only just we did it, but like so fulfilling for you and the team.
Right. Yeah, it was. And it was, you know, F you to a lot of people. Like, for instance, well, Ethan Hawke was friends with Lisa Loeb, so he brought that song to us. Ben Stiller loved it. I loved it. We negotiated the deal directly with her. And then we made a soundtrack album deal. So we made a deal with the record company. They had the opportunity to sign Lisa Loeb as an artist, and they didn't take it. And her song was the first song to go to number one on the Billboard charts with to an unsigned artist. That was the first time that happened. And then, of course, they tried to sign her after that. And I don't remember who she made a deal with. It could have been Marcia. I don't remember, but she obviously had a big bidding war, you know, based on that song alone. So it was a hoot for everybody. And I don't know, most people don't know this. I think Ethan Hawke directed that video too.
Yeah, he did. The video is great. And the song in the film, credits, is iconic in its own right.
Yeah.
For sure. And to think that you were a part of that, it must be something that you look back on thinking, we did that. We were part of that.
Yes. Yes, sure. Yes, I do. And I wish I thought of it and knew her, but I'm grateful that Ethan Hawke did, because we wouldn't have had that experience without him bringing her to the table.
So everybody has an album or a song that influences them and kind of propels them to do what they do. And I'm honored to say that one of those albums for me, at the age of 4, I remember getting the cassette, and it sort of propelled me to do what I do now. And it's the Rugrats movie soundtrack.
Oh, that makes me so happy. It's funny that you said at the age of 4, and I kept sitting here thinking, like, because I'm so used to hearing Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, or, you know, like that it's, and I was thinking, how could he at 4 been listening to these records? And so I don't know why it didn't come to me, but of course, because you must be around the same age as my kids. And
28, yeah.
Yeah. And that is, you know, I did those movies because, I mean, I wouldn't have known Rugrats if I didn't have little kids. And yeah, and that was a great soundtrack. And it was a great soundtrack too, because hopefully it was the same for you as it was for me, is that your parents could enjoy it too. Like, they got the jokes and the music was good, no matter who was on it. You know, like, I mean, it didn't feel like there was so many, you know, this is the time when Barney was so popular and I couldn't stand Barney. You know, I didn't want my kids learning to Barney because there was no musical value in there. So it was really nice to, you know, have songs that had good musicality and clever lyrics for both the adult and kids and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it didn't hurt that one of your main composers was Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo. So that helped out a lot.
Yes. And even the big song that we had, the big hit, was Take Me There with Maya and Black. And that sample, that doo, 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 you know, like, so yeah, he wrote that. And my favorite song is the song in the nursery where I was able to get a bunch of guest stars to.
I love that. Yes.
I do too. Yes. I'm glad you do too. Thank you. Cause it was such a coup. Like, I got everybody to do it for SAG. I just started calling everybody, and Rugrats was so hot. So I got to meet Patti Smith and Lou Rawls and Iggy Pop and Beck and who else, you know, Fife Dog, and, you know, so many different people participated on there. It was really great.
But I want to talk about Take Me There specifically, because it's one of my comfort songs. Like, whenever I'm having in a bad mood, I just put that on and it brings me right back instantly. It kind of gives me nostalgic vibes more than any other song would.
I love that. I love that. Well, I think, you know, I was working at Interscope at the time when I already had a relationship with Nickelodeon. And so when I went to the record company, you know, just to explain how I transitioned at the time in the 90s, as you know, clearly, because your parents were purchasing soundtracks, it was a great business to be in. So they would pay me to come music supervise at record labels. So it was like a package deal. If you release your record with this, we'll throw in Karen Rackman kind of thing. So people could hire me to music supervise, but if you hired me, I had to do the soundtrack on that label. So it was an interesting way to go. And so when I was in Interscope, Jimmy Iovine introduced me to Blackstreet. And I mean, I knew who they were, of course, and Maya. And together with Mark Mothersbaugh, we came up with that song. And it worked. It was great. And do you remember the video?
I love the video. I love the video.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's just sweet.
Yeah, it's to the point where I'm a collector of this stuff. So I have all of the promotional singles for that song and the album. I have everything.
Wow.
It meant so much to me.
That's so sweet to hear. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I don't even think I have the promotional stuff that you have.
I ate that up. And the thing that I find cool about that song now is that I'm shocked with, like, TikTok culture and all these new things that it hasn't had a resurgence with the current generation. Like, I feel like it would blow up if the moment was right.
Yeah, right. Just that line, take me there. Don't want to go there. Take me to, you know, travel, TikTokers or whatever, different things. Yeah, you're right. It's hard, man. It's interesting to see. You know, I get sent playlists from record companies and publishing companies and independent artists daily, you know, probably like 10 to 20 every day. And I was listening to, somebody sent me, like, Universal Music Publishing, I don't know, Cobalt, I don't remember who it was, but they sent me all their songs that were TikTok viral. And I was listening to them, and Ella didn't know what I was listening to. She, my assistant, she was sitting aside from me, and she's like, oh, that song's big on TikTok. Oh, that song's big. It's just so interesting now that TikTok can break songs or bring back songs. And that's the way it is now. Everybody cares more about TikTok than radio now. It's just interesting. Yeah. You know?
I literally feel like Take Me There could be one of those songs.
I think you're right. Do you have a TikTok channel?
I don't, but if I did, I'd bring it there.
Me too. And
the last one I want to talk to you about is the No Doubt, I Throw My Toys Around. That was cool.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yeah. Gosh, I wish. I have something somewhere I would love to play you, but I don't know where it is. I have a demo version of Elvis Costello singing that somewhere. And
oh, you're gonna find that and show me. Great.
Working with Elvis Costello was certainly a highlight of my career. I worked with him on Grace in My Heart, which was a great. Have you ever seen that film?
I've never seen it, but I plan to check it out. I did look into it. Yeah,
do check it out. And what's interesting is you can't get the soundtrack anywhere, and it was like the best soundtrack ever. And, you know, Elvis Costello, that's the first time I worked with him, Elvis Costello and Burt Bacharach together. And they sang this song.
That's a power team in a show.
Right. Yeah. And so they did this song called God Give Me Strength that won a Grammy, but it was originally from the movie. So it was, you know, but we had the actress sing it. It was, it's a great movie. I mean, it's a really great soundtrack. You should check out the movie. I think you'll like it.
Yeah. So, like, what was great about the Rugrats movie soundtrack is that it gave us access to artists and groups we might not have heard before. It was edgy, but it still had childlike sensibilities. I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. And again, that was, you know, my answer to counteract things like Barney that just were strictly like, I just didn't think it was good for kids to grow up with an appreciation of music starting with Barney.
No, literally. And I'm sorry to keep harping on it, but the movie, the soundtrack was just so influential to me, where it's like, I bought the cassette, then I bought the CD, recently I bought the vinyl, so it's always been a part of me.
I love that.
And it's got to be a cool thing for you, because I don't think you get asked about it that much.
No, I don't. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. I don't. I don't. I get asked about Baz Luhrmann's movie, which were really Baz Luhrmann doing everything. I mean, I brought a couple songs to the table there, but released the records. I get asked about Clueless, but mostly it's Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction still to this day.
But what project are you most proud of? Just because you like it, not because of acclaim, not because of anything riding on it, but what are you most proud of?
I'd have to say, like, now that you got me, and I'm sure it changes, but now that you got me on Rugrats, I think I really loved working on Rugrats and Reality Bites. I'm trying to think. Bullworth was an interesting one. Now, unfortunately, the songs weren't heavily featured in the music in the movie, but working with all the greatest hip hop artists in the world, really, you know, and putting together a hip hop record was pretty incredible. And we had that song Ghetto Superstar, and I'm very proud of that. I'm trying to think. Okay. I love Grace in My Heart. So, and I love the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, even though it's interesting because I had a rule when I was doing soundtracks, because a lot of music supervisors and record labels, because see, the reason that record labels got so into soundtracks is that you would have the movie to market it. So the film company would pay to make a music video, and that music video would play on MTV, and it was like a free ad that would play all the time. So back in the day, it was the magic formula. So what made me think of that?
SpongeBob.
Oh, so, but what my rule was, I wouldn't do like inspired by records. My records had to have like the song. I would only do films that really had songs that were featured heavily in the movie. Now, on the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, I love SpongeBob so much. And Steven Hillenburg was the greatest guy in the world. And I, you know, I for that time, I was like, OK, let's do Inspired By, where we took pieces of music from old SpongeBob and we put them together and had like Prince Paul do a remix. And so that was a fun album.
So were you responsible for bringing Wilco into the mix?
Look, I made that deal, but and I went after him, but that was very much Steve Hillenburg. He had
that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. That was him and his son too that did that song.
Great. Yeah. And yeah, I mean that because that soundtrack is very weird in the best sense of the word. But it makes sense for the movie. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, they all made sense. They truly were inspired by, you know. It wasn't just a marketing excuse.
We're kind of all over the map, but I don't think you've been asked about this in a long time. I want to talk to you about a soundtrack you did prior to the Rugrats movie at Nickelodeon. The Good Burger soundtrack.
I love that one. I love that soundtrack too. So, and they're making a remake and I didn't get asked
about it. I know. I'm excited.
I can imagine. And again, like you being my kid's age, you know, like I had to do Good Burger because it was a great, my kids being young, they had it off, you know, like I might not have been the best mother in a lot of ways. I mean, none of us are, but my kids got to go to Kids' Choice Awards every year. And All That. Do you remember the show All That?
Yeah.
And we got to go to All That. And then they got to go to the Good Burger premiere and the SpongeBob premiere. So, you know, they had a good childhood when it comes to stuff like that. You know, they were lucky. But and that was like my reason, I think, for getting into kids music, too. Obviously, my kids. But I loved the Good Burger soundtrack and I loved working at Good Burger. Another one. And you might bring it up too, that isn't talked about a lot, is Mystery Men.
Oh, yes. That movie's great.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think about Mystery Men now, like if Mystery Men was released now, it would have been huge. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah. It was almost predicting what's happening now
right. In
the film. And that was the first inclusion of All Star by Smash Mouth.
You're right. Good for you for knowing that.
And Shrek gets all the credit.
Well, it's interesting because I thought Mystery Men was going to be, I remember going and meeting that band and just being like, okay, I want this song and getting that song. And then we wanted to do a video and it came time and they were like, they already after that hooked into Shrek and they would not let us release it as a single. They wanted to be the big single on Shrek. They knew what they were doing, I guess, because it was huge.
Yeah. Mystery Men has, I don't know if you know this, but it has like a cult following. Like there's like a Blu-ray release of it. It's like a big movie amongst pop culture nerds.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I don't know if you know this, but my ex-husband produced that movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if it's crazy, but it's interesting. But yeah, that's how I worked for him on. He also produced Boogie Nights. So, but yeah. And so my kids, they talk about Mystery Men a lot, like that it needs to come back and all that kind of stuff.
So during my interviews, I always kind of like to flip the script. Do you have any questions for me about what I do in my work? Because I've been pretty open about the pop culture influence on your work. So I want to know what you want to know.
Well, it's funny because I'm going to be completely honest with you. As of late, I've been so busy, and just so you know, I'm working on two SpongeBob movies right now and a Smurfs musical, and I live in New Zealand and work on films here, so I've been overwhelmed. So I sent your stuff to my son Otis, who works with me in LA, and I make him, anytime I get an interview request, I make him check it out, make sure I should do it or pass on it for me. And I didn't watch your videos. I watched one afterwards. He's like, this guy's really cool. He interviews a lot of really interesting people, creative people. And it's very different from anything you've done. You know, like he was very pro DJ Bob, you know. So that's why I did it. Like, I didn't even know anything about you. And I just started watching your videos and right before, I'm impressed. And I think it's great what you're doing with the pop culture references and just having, you know, an array. It must be a great job for you, right? You just go, oh, that's an interesting job. I'm going to reach out to that person. Nobody tells you who you should interview, or do they ever?
I mean, there are a lot of times where networks will go to me and give me press junket things and stuff like that. I'm in with Nickelodeon, I'm in with Disney, I'm in with all the companies. But if I want to talk to someone like you, where people are not asking you about the Rugrats movie, I want to be that one source for the fan who's looking for that stuff. So. And I guess the reason for that is we talk about the Rugrats movie and all these things being a source of influence for me. And that's because as a child, because I have physical disabilities, I couldn't really play outside as a kid. I couldn't really do a lot of things that, quote, normal. What is normal? But normal kids do. So pop culture and TV and music were sort of my way into the world, and I kind of latched onto it more than the average consumer.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, when you were saying four, and I could hear it in your heart, you know, how... Like, just, you know, it's so interesting because, like, for me, I remember going back and buying my first album and pulling it out of the sleeve. But just hearing you talk about how it was your first cassette, you know, or I don't think it was your first, but just how you remember that cassette. Like, when you were talking about it, like, I could see the cassette, I could see the track listing, you know, it's like, it's lovely that you have that. So when most of your interviews, are they about current things as well, or mostly about just things that have already become in the pop culture realm?
Well, I kind of like to do a mix of both. I kind of like to do a lot of stuff. I've done stuff for Nickelodeon where it's a new property or it's a new show. Anything that kind of grabs my attention is... either this is going to be influential, this is going to be something, a future classic, or this is just something that deserves to be spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't even do a pop culture interview. Sometimes I'll interview, like, a history teacher from ninth grade that inspired me.
Aww.
Things that shaped me and things that make me who I am, too.
Have you interviewed your parents on the show?
That is something that I consider doing.
Uh-huh.
I've really tried to make that happen. Actually, one year for April Fool's, my mom took over the show.
Uh-huh.
I literally wrote her a script and we did a funny bit. Uh-huh. But... it's never gone beyond that, but I would love that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, because really, obviously, I like to think, you know, your parents are, you know, like, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have had that Rugrats cassette.
Yeah, exactly. And it, to the point, it's literally, I just remember, like, loving that music video and loving that world and loving... everything that made pop culture at the time so special. Like, there's something special about that time where the internet wasn't around. I'm sorry, but the internet was around, but it wasn't
Right.
Consuming a yes.
Right. Right. Do you remember the first time you got on the internet?
I do remember. And it was probably on some Nickelodeon website or something like that. But what I remember most is like, and you can, like, this is sort of relatable to you. One of my other pop culture touchstones for me was TRL.
Mm-hmm.
I love TRL because it was sort of my sort of way in to what was going on. And at 4, 5, 6 years old, I shouldn't have been listening to a lot of the content that I was listening to just by subject matter alone. But because I had two older sisters, you kind of watch and listen to what they're into. But I kind of absorbed it. I'm like a sponge. I absorbed it and loved it myself.
Yeah, it was fun and great. It's funny, MTV. Do you know who my brother is?
I do not.
Okay. My brother is Ricky Rackman, and he was a VJ on MTV. He was the heavy metal one, Headbangers Ball. On Saturday nights, you were too young, but your sisters might know.
But no, but I am no. Now that you say that, yeah, I know. Okay, yeah. See, even though I was not around for a lot of this stuff, I'm such a pop culture enthusiast that you would never know.
Right.
When I get into something, that's it.
Yeah.
I kind of go deep and sort of, you know, learn everything there is to know about it. So it's one of my claims to fame, really.
What's your latest discovery that you're obsessed with?
Well, I've been watching a lot of the new Muppet series on Disney Plus.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know about that new series, but it's basically the band within the Muppet Show, you know, Animal and those guys, they're recording their first album in 50 years. And it's kind of like a music documentary comedy style thing. And it's so funny, so well written, so kind of self-aware stuff. It's so good.
That's funny. I'm looking something up before I say it because I might be not allowed to say it if I. So I'm looking at Muppet Wiki. Okay. So Linda Perry worked on it.
Yep.
And she did some SpongeBob stuff with me too. And I've known Linda forever, but so, and are her songs great?
Absolutely. To the point, I literally just bought the vinyl the other day to support it and listen to it and love it. See, whatever I'm into, I just get into it real deep.
Well, on that, I'm going to listen to it. And I'm surprised I haven't, because what a fantastic concept. Where's it streaming, the show?
Disney Plus.
Okay, of course. All right. Duh. All right.
And I'm looking at the credits and I see drums and Ringo Starr is playing the drums on it.
Right, that's funny because I was just in Linda Perry's studio the other day, and like when I was in LA, I'm in New Zealand now, a couple weeks ago, and she had like her schedule up on the wall, and I saw Ringo, and I was there with Brett McKenzie. Do you know who Brett McKenzie is?
Yeah,
and you know, he won the Academy Award for that Muppet or a Man song from that movie.
Yep.
Yeah, the Muppets, they don't go wrong much. Like, have you watched all those old Muppet movies?
I have.
They're great.
And a lot of, but this show is really a return to form for the franchise.
I can't wait to watch it. Well, that's cool. You gave me something good to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
So what are you up to now? What's going on currently? What's happening?
I live in New Zealand. I just finished. I'm working on, I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I'm working on a Smurfs musical that Rihanna is going to be Smurfette. That's been announced, that, so I can tell you that. And then I'm working on two SpongeBob musicals, and one just got announced, but it's not coming out until next year.
Is that the Sandy Cheeks one?
Yeah, that's the Sandy Cheeks one. It's adorable. It's really cute. And then the other one I'm not allowed to say, I don't think. And then I'm working on just Otis, who, you know, my son, he music supervises some stuff. And so he does that through the company, and he's music supervising a indie film over there. And we're doing, I do a few New Zealand films. I'm working on one right now that stars like Minnie Driver's in it, and
love her,
Rhys Darby, who's a Kiwi. And I don't know if you saw Taika Waititi's early movies like Boy and Hunt for the Wilder People.
No, but I'm aware.
Okay, you know what? I think you need to see. My favorite is Boy, but a lot of people's favorite is Hunt for the Wilder People, and I think you'll love those movies.
I will. I will check them out, yeah. And then I will email you my thoughts.
You have to be honest with me, but anyway, the kid who starred in Hunt for the Wilder People and the kid who starred in Boy are in this movie too, and it's very sweet. And I there's films like I don't know, you know, I've gotten in trouble before for saying something I shouldn't say, but I'm working on some cool indie projects.
You're doing things.
Yeah.
You're doing things.
Yeah. And maybe we'll do an update later, another interview, because it's been
for sure
fun to talk to you. But I did, I do ads in New Zealand, which is fun. And they are cool because they're only one song and they're cool songs. And that's fun. And then I'm involved in a documentary that I'm one of the many producers on about Pras Michelle from the Fugees and his latest situation. So that's cool.
I'm so excited to see it all, hear it all, and, you know, check it out.
I appreciate
it. So as we wrap up, when I have these conversations, I don't intend to make an impact on the person that I'm talking to on the other end. But what have you taken away from the conversation? What have you learned from our time together today?
I can tell you this. It's funny because that's sort of putting me on the spot. Say, what have I learned? But I can tell you this, that this has been a delightful interview, and you're fascinating, and I love your passion. And to hear and your knowledge, and it's really fun to have it. So I've learned a lot about you, and it's been really a fun interview for me. So I appreciate that.
And I can't wait to chat with you again.
Me too.
This has been so fun. So I know you have to jump in a little bit, but where can people find you and check you out?
I guess I'm not, you know, I think my company has an Instagram that not many people know about, but that is called Mind Your Music, MindYourMusic. I'm not sure if it's like mind.your.music or whatever, but it's Mind Your Music. And that's where I post things about work. And I guess I do, I need to get more active on Instagram, but, you know, I get Karen, K-A-R-Y-N, Rachtman, R-A-C-H-T-M-A-N. I should try and be more relevant in social media, but I think that would be it, I suppose. But
it's a job in itself.
Yeah.
But seriously, thank you so much for this. This has been wonderful. And we will talk again soon for sure.
I appreciate it. Take care, Bob.
Thanks for hanging out with us at the DJ Bob Show. If you liked this episode, drop us a line at djbobrunkel@gmail.com. That's djbobrunkel@gmail.com. Let us know what you liked most about this episode and what other guests we should have on the DJ Bob Show. Thanks so much again for hanging out with us. This is Nate Beagle, your humble announcer.